Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Some of us, this can prompt a whole kind of transformational shift by giving yourself an opportunity to do that work. Then these sort of life chapters can prompt whole kind of new transitions of personal transformation, as well as just how you regard yourselves as a couple.
Welcome to Honesty Box, where we find the answers to the questions you thought were off limits. Hello, I'm Alex Beard, and welcome back to Honesty Box at the Balance Club, where we ask the questions that you want the answers to. No judgment and no topic is off limits. As always, if you'd like to submit your own questions for this series, you can do so anonymously at www.thebalance.club. Just click on the podcast option and a question box will pop up for you. Today, we're discussing the topic, how to move on after one partner has cheated. Now, I'll confess, in my late teens and 20s, I took a very black and white view on cheating. To me, it would mean the immediate end of a relationship. But as I've grown up, that very black and white attitude has changed. Life and relationships are more complex than that. I've seen infidelity break up relationships around me, but I've also seen couples overcome and move on. Chatting with me is Emmy Brunner. Emmy is a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, personal empowerment and transformation coach, CEO, author and speaker with more than 20 years experience in the business and clinical worlds. Emmy has also developed the Brunner Project, a social enterprise that funds treatment and opportunities for support to women throughout the UK. Emmy has written for The Guardian, The Independent, Metro, Refinery29, Elle and many more, and has featured in documentaries for both the BBC and ITV. Emmy's first book, Find Your True Voice, is out in May 2021. The question that we're pulling out of the box today is how to move on after one partner has cheated. Can you move on is my first question.
Yeah, I think you can. I think it really depends on how you both react to that event. I think for some people, infidelity is such an absolute betrayal. And I think if it becomes something where you get stuck in, the only solution or only ability to move forward is the person who's had the affair to throw themselves on their sword, take absolute responsibility for it, to promise never ever for something like this to ever happen again, I think people can get into kind of quite sticky situations because there's not really any kind of reflection or growth about in the why something might have happened. And people have affairs for lots of different reasons. And if you're prepared to kind of be a bit inquisitive about that, I think it's a braver option, but I think it's the possibility then for being able to move forward becomes a better option or a more viable option for you.
I can see though how the person who discovers that they've been betrayed in that way, the knee-jerk reaction would be, yeah, fall on your sword, yeah, culp to all of this, like, I am angry. But surely that's a very normal response to that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, any response is a sort of normal response. I think people feel really angry when they feel betrayed and really hurt when they feel betrayed. I think it's about being able to move out of that space. I think what happens for people is they get stuck in that space. And then even if the relationship is maintained, there is always this sense of the other partner having ruined what was. And it's really, really hard to find yourself in a better place from that perspective. So I think it's not about trying to avoid feeling like that. It's about whether you can shift out of that space or not.
And how do you kind of move beyond, if you find yourself in that sort of angry spot, how do you move beyond that?
I think by recognizing that a kind of an affair or an illicit liaison can be absolutely catastrophic for a relationship, but it can also be an opportunity for strength. It can be an opportunity for healing. It can be an opportunity for you to think about whether your needs were being met in that relationship as well. And I think when one party becomes the bad guy, the balance of power shifts in not a good way. But it also doesn't leave space for the person who hasn't had the affair necessarily to consider whether their needs were being met. So maybe they didn't act out in some way, but maybe there was room for them to feel seen and heard in a way that they perhaps weren't as well. So maybe the whole thing needs to be kind of revolutionised and looked at in a completely different way.
Is it ever the case that it's just, you know, you saying that there's possibly something you could be worked on in the relationship before that perhaps meant that there was this breakdown in the relationship manifesting in infidelity in this time. Is there always that root cause, or is it just sometimes it can't be explained like that?
Yeah, some people stray for different reasons. They stray because of something missing in their relationship. They stray because they're looking for a way out of a relationship. And they stray because of lust. You know, there are lots of different reasons why people stray in a relationship. I think what's really important is to think about what signal that affair is sounding. Like, is it sounding the end of a relationship? Is it the alarm to say, actually, this isn't working, and this is, you know, perhaps not the best way, but a way of that being communicated to both parties involved? You know, or is it an urgent signal to kind of fix something that maybe is going wrong in some way? And I think that's it. When we're a bit curious in the why, even if the why means an ending, it's something to kind of begin to process, and then you can kind of move forward. I think when we get stuck in that anger, it's so damaging for either the person that's had the affair or the person who's feeling betrayed.
I guess it takes quite a lot of self-awareness to step back and take that bigger overview rather than leaning into anger all the time. How much do people around you play into that? Because I can imagine the scenario of people going, someone's cheated on you, get rid. Like, that is, you know, you can't come back from that. That sort of outside influence must be very hard to handle when you're going through something so, you know, intense within your own relationship.
Yeah, I think so many of us are influenced by the people that we care about and their thoughts and perspective on things. But I think it really summons kind of a strength that you have an insight into your own relationship as well. I think nobody knows our relationships better than we do. And I think if you're that heavily swayed and that heavily influenced by people, then that in itself is saying something. I think the strongest couples that I've seen that have managed to overcome something like that, it becomes an experience that they both had. It became a crisis that they were both in, rather than this thing that happened that you did to me. It becomes something that we have experienced, a crisis that we had to overcome together as a couple, rather than something that's been inflicted by one party onto another. And I think when we begin to contemplate the prospect of spending a lifetime with another person, the reality is that we transform, shift, evolve as people, and we either do that together as a couple or we do that apart. And I think an affair or some sort of acting out in a relationship can be symptomatic of part of that transition into another life phase. So I don't think recovery from an event like that is about going back to what was. It's about finding something new, a new way forward.
Do you ever give advice, or is there even just one advice? I imagine there isn't, but about who you tell about this. If in the moment that you find out there's been a betrayal, should that be something that you and your partner deal with or work out how you're going to deal with it between yourselves? Or that, you know, the support network that so many of us rely on, is it useful to bring them in on it?
Yeah, I think it's really useful to talk about the challenges that we're facing in our relationships. If nothing else, it's just an opportunity to kind of vent. You know, sometimes we need to chat to our girlfriends about things, and we need to get things off our chest in a way that's not impactful, and have a moan or say things that we perhaps don't want to say to our partners. And having friendships is a nice space to be able to do that safely. So I think it's really important to use your support system. I think what's really something to just be mindful of is making sure that you're safe, making sure that you're sharing in safe communities that feel safe for you. So making sure that you're sharing things with people that you feel you can trust and who are going to be able to listen, and that it's not going to become about them and their agenda somehow, I think is really key.
In this fictitious scenario, how useful is it? Is it useful at all to bring your children in on that, if obviously they're of an appropriate age? What advice do you give to couples who perhaps have children or who are a bit older, who are going through something like this?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever appropriate to involve your kids in the details of your relationship. I don't think any of us want to be subject to that, no matter how old we get. And I think the role of parent-child continues forever, no matter how old we are. And I think it's just a burden of responsibility for a young person that they just don't need. It's not their responsibility to hold that, help you process that, help you work that through, or certainly to feel like they have to take sides or make a judgment over who's done something wrong or not. I think it's a space, it's a very adult space, and it's something for you to process between yourselves or with the support of a third party or within your friendship groups.
So if you're a couple working through something where there's obviously notably some turbulence there, what language do you use around your children? If children are of an age where they notice that, you know, their parents, their guardians aren't doing so well,
I think you can let kids know that you're maybe having a hard time and that you're working something through without going into the details of what's happened. Letting the children know that it's not about them and that relationships have ebbs and flows and that this is just something particularly challenging right now that mum and dad are having to get through, I think is enough information for kids. I think for them to be informed and that there is an issue is positive, but not to go into detail about the ins and outs of it is definitely the boundary there.
You said earlier, you know, you could work through it perhaps with a third party. Do you think it's ever possible for people to come through this without professional help?
Yeah, I think it is, but I think it depends on how much kind of introspection and work you've done on yourself independently, because I think couples who think in absolutes are far less likely to be able to move through an infidelity into a new kind of type of relationship. And sometimes a third party can really help you make that transition. But that is such a case by case. Some of us have done a lot of work on ourselves, and some of us, this can prompt a whole kind of transformational shift by giving yourself an opportunity to do that work. Then these sort of life chapters can prompt whole kind of new transitions of personal transformation, as well as just how you regard yourselves as a couple.
Obviously, it can also affect of course it affects in a negative way, but in terms of somebody's self-worth, you so often see or hear people who have been the party who've been cheated on really have a wobble about self-worth, understandably. How can people kind of stop that from happening?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I think it's, it's natural for those things to be called into question. But my experience of that is that when people go through an event like this and they come away feeling really less than and as though their self-worth has been shattered in some way, are people that didn't have very good self-esteem to begin with, that they were already living with the presence of a critical narrative about themselves. And what the affair does is it serves to confirm that person's worst beliefs about themselves, and so it becomes almost like a confirmation of all of those negative core beliefs. And that's been my experience. So the problem really is, why do I have this critical narrative about myself? How have these situations and these experiences served to confirm those worst beliefs I have about myself, as opposed to this person's decision to act in a certain way has made me call into question my entire value about myself?
If you both decide to work through this and you move past it, you're able to do that successfully. Is it a case that this is something that's never spoken of again? Is it sort of we've closed that chapter, we've sort of dealt with it, and we're moving on, this is our new chapter? Does that mean that book's away now? Done, we don't speak of it again. Is that the healthy way of dealing with it or not?
It depends how frightened are you of it. I think for people who manage to work through something like that and process it, there's not necessarily any need to revisit the detail of an event like that, because it can be triggering and it could be painful to revisit. But I think that's very different from just having a completely off, out of bounds subject that you absolutely cannot mention because it just provokes too much painful reaction and response. And I think when these life events sort of get banished from the history of our relationship, it's almost kind of ignoring the fact that something like this happened. I think being able to refer to a difficult time and acknowledge that they were hard months or years that you worked through is a far kind of more measured way of being with it.
Is there such a thing as steps? What, you know, if someone comes to you, a couple comes to you, and there's been an infidelity on one person's part, what are the steps people should follow? How do people start to work through this?
I think getting out of a place, as I said, where you're seeing things in a very black and white way, like I'm the victim, you are the perpetrator of this, and that's it. And I think a lot of people are drawn into a therapeutic setting initially because they want their pain to be validated, and they're looking for support as well, to kind of for somebody to have to own what they've done. And I think the mistake sometimes in a therapeutic perspective is to use this as an opportunity to try and help the couple work through something and ultimately stay together. And I think it takes courage on all parts to use that space as one to examine what were the benefits of the affair, like why was somebody drawn into that relationship? Are there things there that could be kind of nurtured in the marriage or the longer term relationship? Are there things that we can learn from that? So sometimes it's really helpful to work with a couple one-on-one in that situation as well, and be able to explore something that might be a bit more painful to do as a couple.
The old adage, which is so often thrown around when there's cases of infidelity, is once a cheater, always a cheater. You know, and I know that's a very sort of paintbrush painting everyone the same colour, but is there any truth in that?
No, I don't think there's any truth in that. I think some people find it particularly difficult to make, you know, monogamous commitments to people. And if that's a pattern that they have, then that's a pattern that they have. But I think that people make mistakes and people find themselves in situations that they just couldn't possibly have anticipated, even after having been in very happy relationships for a long time. You know, people are complicated and we have complex needs. And I think what's really key for each of us is to have a certain knowing of who we are and to be kind of attuned to what our needs are and conscious of who we are as people. And then we can almost preempt some of these more catastrophic or destructive things happening before we find ourselves suddenly waking up in a situation we're not sure how quite we got there.
Yeah, I was going to go on and ask that, is that obviously people on the whole can't predict if someone's going to cheat in any way, but are there ways of looking at your relationship to see if it's solid enough, or, you know, like you say, should we be looking at things before they get to the point of breaking?
I think certainly we can pay attention to our relationships and nurture them and not take them for granted, to think about whether our needs are being met in the relationships, whether we're listening to our partner's needs and their attempts to communicate with us. And also, I think as time passes and we get older, just consistently doing that, being mindful of taking care of one another as we make a decision to kind of go through this journey of what it is to be human together, nurturing one another, but also recognizing that people fall in love and sometimes things happen and we can't control everything. And it's extremely painful when it happens, but it does happen like that. And I don't necessarily know that that's always a reflection of something being wrong in the relationship. I think that's what's painful about this experience, is that there isn't a formula as to when or why exactly it may happen. Sometimes it just does.
What are the common traps that people can fall into when they are, when they've discovered an infidelity in that way? I know you said obviously anger and focusing on the victim and the perpetrator. Are there any other ones that you sometimes see?
I think just holding on to a sense of punishing a partner forever. So staying in a relationship, but only doing it under the circumstances or the threat of this never happening again. And you are lucky that you are still here with me in this relationship, and I will punish you forever for that. I think it's just the worst thing for both parties, because you both end up stuck in this kind of purgatory situation where you're not able to move forward, either of you, either by embracing the relationship in a new light or by letting it go. You're kind of stuck in an angry place where you're constantly punishing somebody for something that they did, and punishing yourself ultimately. It's pretty brutal.
Is there ever possible, have you seen it happen, where people move beyond and have fully recovered from that, or even better, have a stronger relationship from that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it sometimes it can really provide a catalyst for people to do that work on themselves and in the couple relationship. So it can really prompt people to be much more introspective. And it takes courage to do that. It takes real bravery to do that, to think about what part you may have played in why an affair happened, or what, whether you were meeting a person's needs, whether they were able to communicate with you fully what they needed, and for it to become a more reciprocal experience takes a lot of courage. And as you say, you know, when you're in that angry place, like being able to press forward past that point to do that work is a brave thing to do, I think.
Thanks, Emmy. That's a really positive thought to finish on. Thank you so much. It was great to chat to you today. And as always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.